morning and welcome to Piedmont United Methodist Church on this second Sunday in Lent and the last Sunday of February. It is a blessing to be together here, worshiping together in this church. God has given us another day to live in this world. It is always good to get up in the morning and see the sunlight and say thanks be to God, because God has given us one more day to live in His world, to be a blessing here. He has also given us the health and strength to be here together and also online to worship together with all the saints around the world. It's a privilege and an honor that God has given us to do that and worship His name together. It's our Lent season. Now as we, the second Sunday in Lent, we continue to reflect on our lives during this time and take this time to renounce injustice and evil in any form in around us, and also reject bad habits that we have to leave out from our lives, and also repent of our sins. It's a time of renouncing, rejecting and repenting during this several weeks until Easter that we spent in Lent season. It's also a time where we use our special time of prayer and meditation and read the scripture on a special time during this season to meditate on the word more and pray more about us and also for about others. If you can turn with me to the announcements in the second page in the bulletin, it's the regular announcements that are listed there. The Georgia Mountain Food Bank, our ministry to the community, is still active and going. Please donate in kind or cash as you may please. Note that. And the Joy of the Journey book is still available for sale, and it will go to the Piedmont Church mission work. If you mailing address listed there for your correspondence with the church during this time, mail your check or any other communication. If you want to mail, use that address as well. And then if you know anyone who is affected by the COVID-19 with basic needs, struggling with basic needs like utilities or groceries, please let us know. We will help as much as we can. The annual conference of the church is scheduled for the month of June from the 3rd through the 5th. It will be held online. More information will be available later. If you want to look at the latest or updates on it, please go to the website listed there, nguMC.org, and the registration is also listed there as May 16th through 31st. As the last Sunday of the month, we celebrate our anniversaries and our birthdays together, and we will have our celebration lunch today after service. Please stay after service and join our fellowship at the fellowship hall for the lunch. Those of you who want to come and pick up a plate from our online, please feel free to do so. We can prepare a plate for you if you want to come, and let us know if you are coming or not.
If anybody needs a plate delivered, I would be glad to deliver a plate if somebody wants
them. Yes, we can deliver. Oh, we have volunteers to deliver plates for you. Please don't hesitate to raise your hand. We can bring, because it's not too far from here or on our way, we can just drop by and stop by and bring a plate. The attendance and collections are listed at the bottom for your continued prayers and participation of the church. Thank you all for your prayers and participation in presence by your donations and also your witness. Thank you all for joining this ministry of this church in this community and around the world. Are there any other announcements?
Pastor, since Lisa's not here, I'm going to take the opportunity. If anybody in the congregation, online or in church, if you have any songs that you really like, if there's anything you'd like to hear us do, if you'd like to see us do more one type of music than the other, drop us a note or send us an email, or let Penny or Wayne or me or Gail or Lisa know. We really want to get the congregation, both online and in church, involved in the music. We wanna play what you guys want to hear. So let us know.
Yeah, send us an email or a text or whatever way you feel.
However.
And let us know. And if you want to join the choir, you are welcome to join as well. We practice on Wednesday nights at 6:30. Anything else? If not, let us continue to worship together. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. If you are able, please stand for the opening hymn. Hymn number 400 in the blue book, and also on screen. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing Thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, pour for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by trembling tongues above. Raise a mount and fix upon it, mount of Thy redeeming love. Praise mine Ebenezer, either by Thy help I'm come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interposed His precious blood. Oh, to grace a greater debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness, like a feather, bind my wandering heart to Thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for Thy courts above. Please be seated. Let us pray. Eternal and loving God, we thank You for this opportunity that You have given us together to come to this place and also online to worship You as Your children. Thank You for another day that You have given us in our lives to live in this world. Thank You for the gift of life, fellowship and friendship and family that You bestow upon us every day. Help us to have a grateful heart as we receive and enjoy these blessings of Yours, even when we don't deserve it. Lord, in Jesus Christ, You have given us everything that we ever deserve and more. Even when we were unfaithful, Lord, You have been faithful to us. Enable us by Your good Spirit to worship You in truth and in spirit, Lord, with humility and reverence to honor Your name. All honor and glory be to You through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as we practice our Lent season again one more time in our life. To reject and renounce and repent and meditate on Your word and pray for us and for others and for the world during this time, to take more time to reflect on our lives. Make it a blessed time for us so that we can become a blessing to this world and more as we continue our life's journey in this world. Bless us today as we worship together, Lord. Let Your name be lifted up in our singing, in our prayers, in our meditation of the word, and we do everything here. Bring honor and glory to Your name and blessing to Your people. In everything we do, help us, Lord, to be humble before You and humble before each other, to love each other as You have loved us, and help us, Lord, to be living witnesses for You in the days to come. As we continue our service, let Your presence fill us in our hearts, and when we go from this place, we'll be full with the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be more powerful witnesses for You in the days to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our greeting time now, if we can say hi to each other and also unmute everybody so we can say hi to everybody online.
Hello everybody online.
Good morning everyone.
Hello everybody in church.
Good morning everybody.
Hey, you can all hear us, thanks. Good. Yeah, Robert, I see you. Good morning, nice to see you. Kathy and Bob, we see you too. And Chuck and Vicky, good morning. Who else is there? Yeah, Jan and Harry, good morning. Miss Lou and James, good morning.
Morning, Pastor.
And the Howells, we see you all.
Yeah.
I think we covered everybody online. And Martha, good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to hear your sound too. Good morning, everybody here too. Good to be here today worshiping together. Today we will be celebrating the birthdays and anniversaries that we had during the month of February. If any of you had any special celebration like anniversary or birthdays or anything else that you want to celebrate as a church family, please share that so we can have a prayer as well. And there's a luncheon after the service that we will be doing for the celebration. Are there anybody who celebrated an anniversary or birthday?
We celebrated.
Jane had a birthday February 5th.
Who has it?
Jane had a birthday.
Oh, James.
All right.
Happy birthday, James.
Birthday.
James was 39, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And Miss Linda, what did you say?
We had an anniversary.
Oh, you had an anniversary, yeah.
Happy
you
anniversary.
Said you, yeah, you said you are not going to say how many years it is, right? Happy anniversary.
It took me to know in here anyway.
Two grandkids' birthday, okay.
We had an anniversary also.
Who has that?
We had an anniversary also.
Oh, you have an anniversary, okay.
I also had an anniversary.
Oh, so we have anniversary month.
Who sent you a card, Penny?
It's a February anniversary month. It's several.
Been married 36 years.
36 years, good. God bless you. Anybody else has anything special to celebrate?
There were a few other birthdays of people that are not here.
Carol's birthday was January, but she's not here.
January, okay, Carol. Yeah, you don't have to be here. We can still celebrate.
Yeah.
Let's call out. It is a blessing to receive God's blessing, and it's a privilege to receive God's blessing in our lives. God's gifts are always there, available freely, that we enjoy. So let us be grateful and thankful to God for all His mercies that He gives us every day. Let us pray, and particularly pray for these people who are celebrating. Let us pray. Lord our God, You are the giver of light and life, and we thank You for Your gifts of life, love, family and friends, and church and fellowship. Help us, Lord, to understand that in Jesus Christ You have given us more than we could ever deserve. We pray for those who are celebrating their anniversaries and birthdays during this month, and also other things that they are celebrating that we have not shared. We thank You for all the blessings that we are celebrating. We thank You for a new year in their lives. With the passing of time, You have increased and deepened their love towards You and for others. Thanks to You for the past blessings, and pray for Your continual mercies upon them, O God. Renew them with Your fresh blessings upon them every day. Cover them with Your love. Comfort them with Your joyful presence, and confirm them in their hope. Guide them, Lord, in this life of confusion and doubts. With the Holy Spirit, empower them with the witness that they ought to do in this world as they live their lives. May your Holy Spirit strengthen them in faith and fill them with love and service for you and for the others. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The choir will be singing an anthem now. It's a great day coming. It will be on the screen as well. Please remain seated. Able, please stand for the responsive reading, which is taken from Psalm 51, verses 1 through 9.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you, you only, have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment.
Behold, I was born into iniquity, and I have been sinful since my mother conceived me.
Behold, you desire truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart.
Purge me with my eyes, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me hear with joy and gladness, let the bones which you have broken rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
The word of God for people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. As we come to the prayer time now, as the church family, we share our prayers of blessings together and celebrate the joy and blessings with thanksgiving to God. And also we share our burdens and concerns together between each other and to God as well, and lift them up to the throne of grace, that God will answer our prayers according to His time and His need, His will. So let us share our prayers of blessings as well as our concerns now. turn with me to the back of the bulletin for the regular prayer request. Please use this as a list for your regular prayers on a daily basis. These items and people that are listed here. Are there any special call-outs today?
One of my husband's best friends growing up passed away. He was living in Texas for several years now, but he was the best man at our wedding.
Oh.
And they were very close growing up. So.
Pray for the family.
Mike Houston is his name.
What's his name?
Mike Houston.
Houston, okay. It's nice to see Jack here today and Eddie here today too, and Martha online as well. Continue to pray for them as they are working with their treatment programs. Lisa is out sick today, but she's online with us, the whole family. Hope you're getting better, Lisa, and we'll pray for you and everybody there.
Actually, I forgot they had an anniversary too.
Yeah,
they
said she called out that too. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have three that on the prayer list are Bruce and Kenny Sutton and Jerry Spence. They're all doing good. And Kenny Sutton got to go home from the rehab this past Wednesday. So.
Yeah, Kenny's. Yeah, he's the one with the COVID.
He did have COVID, and he's on a ventilator, but he did. Right. I mean, they want to thank everybody for their prayers because
okay.
A lot of people are praying for them. So. Mm-hmm. And I want to add one. Ken Benson, he's my nephew. And he's got spots with his feet, but he's got abscess on his foot that will not heal. So his name's Kenneth Benson.
Kenneth?
Kenneth.
Spencer, you mean?
Benson.
Vincent, okay. Are there any special call-outs? Let us continue to pray for the essential workers, particularly the healthcare workers who are working in the front lines, and also our service workers during this pandemic particularly. And remember our military and police and firemen who are working for our safety, and let us keep them in our prayers. Let us pray for the country as a whole, and also the new president and the administration and all the governors of the states to do the right thing, that God will give them the wisdom to make the right decisions. Let us pray, keep them in our prayers. Please continue to keep the Blankenship family as they are grieving at the death of Larry. We talk to Jean on a regular basis, and she's getting much better now, but she needs a lot of prayer, and the family needs a prayer as well. Any others? If there are no call-outs, let us go to God in prayer. We'll take a few moments in silent prayer, and then I will close with a summarized prayer. Let us pray. Jesus said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. If you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let us go to God in prayer with that promise. Loving God, we thank you for the time that you have given us together to come before you as your children. sharing our prayers of blessings and thanking you for all those blessings that we receive in spite of our unfaithfulness. You have been faithful to us, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the gift of life with all its joys and blessings. We thank you for everything that you give us in spite of who we are, because your Son Jesus Christ, because of your Son Jesus Christ who came to die for us in this world. We also come before you with our burdens and concerns, Lord. We look up to you for our needs because you are the source of all good things, as well as you are the source of all solutions and answers to our problems. Many of us are broken in our bodies and many of us are broken in our souls and spirit. But we know that you are the one who can make us whole, so that we can come to you anytime, in any situations of our life. As the scripture says, even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. When we are weak, you strengthen us, O God. When we go through life's sorrows and loss, you give us comfort and peace. You are the source of true healing and comfort that we can come to you for healing. We thank you for all the healings that we have heard today, Lord. Continue to be with them as Martha and Jack are in their continued healing to restore their health. We thank you for the good news that we heard from the Kenny Sutton family, and Kenny Sutton could go home after a long stay in the hospital, Lord. We also pray for those who need your continued healing. We pray for the Houston family as they are grieving. Bless them with your peace and comfort, Lord. We also pray for the Blankenship family as they are grieving at the death of Larry. Be with them and comfort them with your presence. We pray for those who are struggling with their health and need healing at this time. We pray for Lisa and the whole family for your healing. Touch them, Lord. Touch her particularly so that she can be restored completely back to normal health. We pray for all those who need your touch and healing. We know that you are the healer. You are the creator of our body. So you know much more than any physician in this world, and we come to you, the good physician. Bless each of us, Lord, according to our needs, and heal us, Lord, in our body and in our spirit and in our souls. We thank you for your presence in our midst today as we lift up all of our needs, listening to our prayers. We pray for our country as a whole, the leaders of the country, the president, vice president, the cabinet, governors of the states, and all those who make big decisions that affect our lives every day. Bless them with your wisdom and guidance, the Holy Spirit, that they will do the right thing and make the right decisions. We also thank you for the essential workers and their service that they give to us, Lord. Even when we are shut down in our homes and in our places, they are working outside and in the front lines, protecting us and serving us. We thank you for services and protection and safety. We pray for the military, police, and our fire people, and all those who are working every day, working hard to protect us and keep us safe. We pray for their safety as well during this time. We pray for all of our church members who are in different types of needs that we don't even know of. Meet them, Lord, according to their needs and desires. Above all, let your will be done in our lives and their lives. As we gather here today, let your name be lifted up, Lord. Bless each and every one of us here, from the child to the oldest one, according to your will, and fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit as we go from this place. In all the things that we do here, Lord, bring honor and glory to your name, so that we can be more powerful witnesses for you and share your love with this world. As we pray this prayer in the name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now the ushers may come forward and take up the offering.
church here below. Praise Him, my body, heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Loving God, You are the source of all good things, and You only desire good for us. We come before You with our offerings of our tithes and offering at this time. Above all, we offer ourselves at this time as a sacrifice before You. May we find joy as we freely give our prayers and presents and gifts and service and support of the ministry of this church and the mission of the church around the world. We ask You to accept this offering of Your people. We thank You for those who were able to give joyfully and pray for those who could not give today. Holy God, remember all of them in Your love and bless and help us to use this offering to share Your love to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please remain standing for the scripture reading taken from the Gospel according to John chapter 8 verses 1 through 11.
But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn He appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around Him, and He sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap, in order to have a basis for accusing Him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning Him, He straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again He stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before Your word at this time to meditate on it and to receive Your blessing through Your word. Open our hearts and our minds to receive Your word at this time, O God. Give us a humble and obedient spirit to obey and follow what You command us to do. Illumine our souls to see the hidden treasures in Your word so that it will become a blessing in our lives and also a blessing to this world through our lives. Talk to each and every one of us, Lord, according to our needs, that Your Holy Spirit will work in us and through us, that it will become a living witness in the days to come. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be accepted in Your sight, O Rock and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This past couple of weeks ago, there was a story about a woman who used the Gorilla Glue to dress up her hair, and I don't know how many of you followed that. They called it the Gorilla Glue Girl. And if you want to look at it, you can search for that funny story where a woman in her 40s from Louisiana, a mother of five, went viral on the internet after applying Gorilla Glue adhesive to spray her hair, and she got stuck in a sticky mess that she could not get out of. And she posted that video online, and the whole world watched her struggling with it. And then she was taken to the emergency one night, and they sprayed more stuff onto it that became more painful for her, could not give any relief. And finally she got out of the trap by going to Los Angeles for a plastic surgeon who offered her free treatment to get her out of the mess. And it became a big joke on the internet and also on the nightly shows. And people were teasing her and condemning her and doing all kinds of comments on her during this time. And one of the reporters who caught up with the Los Angeles clinic getting freed from the sticky mess asked her, you know, have there been any positives that came out of this situation? And then she said, well, I just want everyone to know that you are not your hair. I am not my hair. You are beautiful with or without your hair. So that is what the lesson that she learned from that sticky mess that she had with the Gorilla glue that she sprayed on her hair. We all make mistakes one way or other. And we laugh at others when they make mistakes. But we have done similar things or even worse things in our lives that we could laugh at ourselves if we look back. In all ages and days, there are people who try strange things, out of common sense. Something does not strike on our sometimes common sense. It is not common anymore anyway. But the social media right now takes this up and makes it so viral. If somebody does something stupid or something that is out of line. But if we look at our own lives, we have done similar or worse things. But when it comes to others, we are quick to make judgments and make it a big deal. The story that we have read here today is about an encounter of a woman in front of Jesus, with Jesus, and also the encounter with the law. So she had two encounters that she is facing in front of her. She was caught in her sin of adultery, according to the Jewish custom and the law. Such women ought to be stoned and killed. That's what their law says. But the strange law does not say anything about men. Listen to that, remember that as well. So they caught this woman, all these people, particularly men, we only see men there. They brought this woman caught in adultery to Jesus and started condemning her and accusing her and asked Jesus to pronounce death sentence on her. This is what the Jewish law says. What do you want us to do with this woman? They did not bring this woman to find or to establish any kind of law or justice in this community, but they brought her with a purpose to trap Jesus. That's what we read there. How do they trap Jesus? Because the Jewish law states that such women who are caught in adultery should be stoned to death. Death sentence is the judgment according to the Jewish law. But the Romans were ruling at the time in their country, so the Roman law had precedence over the Jewish religious law. So they were in a conflict here because they wanted to trap Jesus. If Jesus says that go ahead and stone her to death, he will be violating the Roman law because Roman law does not have death sentence unless there are special unique circumstances and they have to get approval, especially from Rome, to do that. So Jesus, he says that go ahead and stone her to death. He will be breaking the law with the Roman government and be troubled with the Roman government. But if he says that, you know, he's going to be, she's going to be condoned and excused, then he will be breaking the Jewish law. So that's what they were trying to do with Jesus, to trap him between the Roman law and the Jewish law. The woman was in the middle. The accusers are accusing her of the sin and caught her in adultery. And Jesus was there to make a decision. There are two encounters, like I said, in this, that we can identify. The Pharisees on the one side, the law on their, the Jewish law on their side, and then Christ on the other side to make the judgment on this woman in front of them. The law on one side and the grace on the other side. One of the authors that when I read about this thing is saying that it is a terrible thing for a sinner to fall into the hands of his fellow sinners. That is the most terrible thing that can happen, when sinners are going to judge other sinners. So here these people who have come here to judge this woman and also trap Jesus and thought that they could trap Jesus in this dilemma that they were in between the Roman law and the Jewish law. But they forgot about the judgment that is that they're bringing themselves. They are bringing themselves on themselves during this time, because they're accusing this person of sin while they were also sinners. There's a saying that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. If we are saints and looking for judging others and finding fault with other people, remember, we were all sinners. We are all sinners in front of God. At the same time, if we are convicted of our sins, there is grace of God that will forgive our sins and cleanse us all from our sins. So God's grace is always available, no matter where we are, in what condition or situation we are in. And like I said, adultery was not the issue in all of these things. It was clear that they wanted to trap Jesus and also find something to stop the work of Jesus in the society and in the world at that time. So Jesus did not do anything. He started writing on the ground. We don't know what he wrote. Some people say that he was writing and reminding them of the written laws that Moses got from God, the Ten Commandments. And that's what some people are saying that, but there is no evidence of what he was writing on the sand. Some people are saying that he was writing the sins of each of those people who were accusing this woman in the crowd. He is probably writing Charlie, this sin, Joe, this particular sin, you know, and Sam, and you know, whoever it is in the front of him, he was writing those. That's what some people are saying. But it could be, whatever it be, Jesus was writing on the ground, and then he looked up and said, "Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her." That is very interesting. The one who is guiltless and sinless, the Son of God, who is the only one qualified to do any kind of judgments on this woman, he looked up and said that let him who is without sin may cast the first stone at her. And when we see that, then he went back and started, he bent down and started writing on the ground again, the second time. And when they heard this, they went away one by one. We read that beginning with the older ones to the youngest. It's very interesting to see that the older ones started leaving first, isn't it? Because the older we live, the more baggage we collect. And that's what happened to me. When I was younger and in my, you know, early ages, I was less judgmental, I thought. I'm still thinking. Because when I grew older, I became more and more judgmental. That's probably natural, I don't know. But as we grow older, here we see that when they were convicted of their sins, the older ones started leaving first, and then the younger ones followed. And when Jesus looked up after he wrote, nobody was left but the woman. Jesus was on the side of the woman in one sense, and if you read the chapter, John's chapter that we read today, the passage about the woman, adulterous woman, in some versions of the Bible, it is given in brackets. In the some versions of the Bible, in the early years of scripture that they were writing and compiling Bible together, some people did not think that this was an appropriate passage to be put in the Bible, because it would send the wrong message that Jesus was condoning adultery. So some of the versions in the early manuscripts do not have this passage in it. And you will see the note underneath about that if you look at some of the versions. But in our scripture that we follow, it is there for a reason, to tell us that Jesus is always on the side of the weak, lifting them up rather than pulling them down and destroying people. He's always there to build people up because of the grace of God. So if Jesus, if you say that, one of the writers say like this, if you say that Jesus is on the wrong side of an issue, I would rather be on that side with Jesus. Because Jesus would never be on the wrong side of an issue. But who makes the decision between wrong and right? Who makes the decision between good and evil? God is the only one who can judge between good and evil, because we don't know the whole story about anything in this world. Not about people, when it comes to judging people, or when it comes to making decisions or judgments about situations. We don't know a lot of things that going on in the background. There's a story about Bishop Porter, who was a bishop in the Anglican Church, and he went on a cruise one time with his family, and when he was checked into the ship, he went to the cabin, and right across the cabin there was another guy, and he did not feel comfortable by the looks of that person. So Bishop Porter was a little uncomfortable with a person next door that looked did not fit his type of people who are good. So he went to the front office with all his valuables and asked them to keep that in their safe at the front office, and he said that he didn't feel comfortable with the way his next door neighbor looks like, so he didn't feel comfortable to keep all his valuables in the front office in a safe. Then the office clerk told him, before you came here, that passenger came here before you and did the same thing with his valuables to keep it here. So Bishop Porter learned a big lesson during that time, that he judged that person with his appearance, thinking that he was probably not a good person to be a neighbor. But he did the same thing looking at Bishop Porter. So it is always us that we need to look at first before we started looking at others to find fault or judge others. When you point a finger at someone, and we always know that there are three fingers at least point towards us when we point one finger at other people. So in this encounter we see this woman caught in sin taken to Jesus by the teachers of the law and asked Jesus to pronounce death sentence on her. But Jesus did not make any judgment on her. At the same time, Jesus did not condone her actions either. He did not condemn her. He did not condone her actions either. But he was being compassionate. The law of grace that God showed to you and me is because of compassion of God. When we are put in situations where we make judgments or we have to make judgments in many sometimes, always remember to have compassion first. To be compassionate before when we make discernments and judgments about situations and people. The crowd wanted to talk about the woman, but Jesus wanted to talk about the crowd. Whenever we find ourselves judging others, remember, Jesus wants to talk about you first. Yes, we have a responsibility and obligation to our brothers and sisters, only because through love and compassion. But to find fault and judgment on others is not our job to do. It is God's job to do, because we are not ultimately the judges. God is the judge who will judge everyone. So before judging others, there is Jesus looking at our lives first. Even though they wanted to talk about the woman, Jesus started talking about them, and they could not stand it, and they started leaving one by one. The finger that wrote the Ten Commandments was writing on the ground about you and me. Every day he is writing about you and me. And then remember that our own lives are being written by God in his book every day. So note that for instead of passing judgment on the woman as these leaders had intended, Jesus passed judgment on the judges. And when he looked up, finally, he found the woman was left alone before him. Jesus looked up and said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more." God's compassion goes beyond our present. It goes to the future. He lets us go and gives us a second chance, not to live in sin, to continue in sin, but to sin no more. That was his advice to that woman who was caught here. Sometimes we take our life for granted, but we have a very brief time of life that God has given us in this world. We have to use it wisely and use it for the blessing of this world and for the blessing of God's kingdom. A funny story that I read about a man who died in a particular town, and he was a very successful businessman. But he was very bad in his actions, because he made a lot of money by cheating and crooking, by crooks with other people, and by cheating others, and he was a rough and rude businessman in the community, so nobody liked him. But he had a lot of money, and when he died, his brother inherited all of that money and was in charge of making the funeral arrangements. Because he was a big rich guy in the community, they had a big funeral for him. But nobody would like him. Nobody liked to attend his funeral, but there would be some friends who came. But the brother went to the local pastor and asked the local pastor to say the eulogy and do the funeral for his brother. And he also told the pastor that if he could call his brother a saint, he would give a lot of money to the church. But the pastor was in a dilemma here, you know, what to do. He knew that nobody liked him. He was a bad person in the community and nobody liked him. So the pastor at the same time looked at the money that he was going to get for the church, particularly the church needed a roof or something, and they knew that they didn't have enough money for that, but they could use this money for the church. The pastor was in a dilemma what to do now, to call him a saint when he's not, and the people would know that it is not true. So when the funeral came, the pastor decided to do the eulogy and the funeral. And during this eulogy, was the pastor said that he acknowledged that he was a bad person. He cheated a lot of people. He was rough and rude, and a lot of people did not like him. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. That's what the pastor said. Compared to who? Whenever we call somebody or judge somebody, even it can be gone on the other side. You know, we call people saints and put people on a pedestal. But we are not there to judge. We compare with ourselves, where we stand. Jesus is neither condemning nor condoning. He is being compassionate. The one who was qualified to point the finger at that woman refuses to do so. Now that the jury is gone, the woman awaits her verdict. And then the verdict came, neither do I condemn you. Jesus gives us the opportunity to do it right. Here, finally, the woman looked much better than her accusers. That's what I find very strange. She got forgiveness from God, and she looked much better than their accusers who did not ask for forgiveness. And they all left with their guilt, condemning them as they left Jesus. When all is said and done, remember that it will be just you and Jesus. That's all we need to remember. As the religious leaders walked away from the situation, all that was left was Jesus and the woman and the sinner. So it will be for each and every one of us. The sinners will stand before God one day. It is not about the other people, but about you and God. To reflect on our lives during this Lent, to renounce those forces of evil around us, and also reject those evil and bad habits that are binding us, and to repent of our sins, is the meaning of Lent. Jesus does not punish because he took the punishment for us, for each one and every one of us. He did not condemn her because he became the condemnation for us and our sins. And Jesus did not pull her down because he was pulled down by the one who persecuted him when he was in this world. So here is Jesus who took up all of our pains and our sufferings and our shame and our sins, so that we can be free from the shame and the guilt and the sin that binds us and pulling us down. Come to Jesus, and he is there with compassion and grace to forgive our sins. We have been forgiven, and we have been children of God walking in God's ways. Remember, we can rededicate our lives so that we won't be judgmental on others. If you are a sinner seeking forgiveness, God is there to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all of our sins. No matter how great our sins are, God can forgive and cleanse us from all of our sins. There was a church prison ministry that I read from one of the books that said that they went to the prison to minister to those people. They do that regularly. And one Halloween time, they arranged all the families of those prisoners to bring their children and their wives to the prison. And they had a big time together, a celebration time together. They had some snacks and playtime together with the children in that prison, but a lot of people in the community and the church did not like that idea because they did not like those prisoners to be entertained like that. But the prison ministry did that anyway. But one thing happened during that time, but the children had a great time with their dads. Many of their dads they haven't seen for a long time. They had a good time together after about an hour. When everything was done and gone, the sad thing was that the dads were going through one door being let inside the prison, and the children and the families were going through the other door to the outside world. But they learned one lesson at that time, that even in the middle of judgment from other people, the ministry continued that service and ministry to that prisoners, and it brought joy that nobody could ever give to those families. That was more important than anything else that they could experience. Giving joy to the people in the family. God's grace is there for us to serve others in need, not to judge and condemn others. God's grace is always available no matter how great a sinner you are. There is no great sinner that God cannot save. There is no great sin that God can redeem us from. He is always there to redeem and restore us back to His kingdom as we come and repent our sins before Him. There is a great song that we all sing during the Passion Week and filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood, lose their all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. God can cleanse us from all of our guilt and sin and make us white as snow. May God bless us with these words as we go from this place and make our Lent a meaningful season. The closing hymn is Grace Greater Than Our Sins. It will be on the screen. Please stand if you are able.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our good. Yonder on Calvary's mount of gold, there where the blood of the Lamb was put. Grace, grace, God's grace, that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Sin in this bed, that tender soul it takes, grace that is greater, yes, grace untold, voice to the refused of mighty cross. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Sin that we cannot fight, what can avail to wash it away? Look, there is flowing and crimson tide, whiter than snow you may be today. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sins. Sin paying it precious grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, fill you this moment this grace receive. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
People of God, go from this place knowing that God's grace is always available. No matter where you find your situation in, there is no sin that God cannot forgive. There is no sinner that God cannot redeem. go in the knowledge that God is there loving us every day. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Heavenly Father, and the everlasting comfort and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you now and forevermore. Amen.